Is it worth it? 2 Peter, 1st chapter, 1st verse. 2 Peter 1:1. We have this verse, and as it starts out, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He identifies himself that he's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is an apostle. Then he says to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Isn't that something, as he writes to these people and writes to us, that he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Jesus, our Lord. Then he goes on, he says many things, but we'll just stop with these two verses. And I want to talk about, in verse number 1, precious faith. Precious faith. In the testimony of the Scriptures, that we have that of faith, and we see how important that it is in the Scriptures. Without faith, there's no salvation. I think the Scripture is very clear upon this subject. And the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. And it says, the wrath of God abideth upon that person that believeth not. So we have the faith and how important that it is. And also the Lord spake, and he said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Boy, that tells us just how important faith is in believing in Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Scripture says one place it'd be better not to be born than to die in your sins. And so that we find how important that faith is. Now, you can go to church all your life. You can go to Sunday school and have 24 pins of perfect attendance and all of this. You can have a head full of knowledge, and you can live without blemish in your life. But if you live and die without faith, it's damning. You can do all these things, and yet without faith, it's damning. Now, a lot of people do not believe that, but that's the Scriptures. And a friend of mine yesterday, we was talking, and he said, a person he's telling me, he says the Bible's a good book, but he ignores Christ, faith. He believes in his good deeds for salvation, but you got to have faith, saving faith. See, I wouldn't want to give false hope. You wouldn't want to give false hope. You wouldn't want to have false hope. Bible says without faith there's no pleasing God. We have this in the Bible about Enoch. And the Bible says that Enoch was not. And God took him and translated him that he wouldn't see death. And he said that he had this, that he pleased God. You know, that's written beside of his name. Well, it'd be good to have something written like that, that he pleased God, wouldn't it, beside your name for all eternity. And it was by divine grace that he pleased God, and it'd be beside of divine grace that we please God. That ought to be our very aim in life, is to please him. And again, you can do a lot of things in this life. You can bestow all your goods to feed the poor. You can do all kinds of things, and that's called wonderful works. But if you live without faith, You can't please him. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. It says we must come to him and believe that he is. And that is what he's declared to be from the scriptures. When we believe that God is, that is that we believe what scripture says without him, or about him. If we're without faith, we're without salvation. So the text here says that we've obtained. It says to them that have obtained. Now we can obtain some things in different ways. We can obtain things by labor. We can obtain them by merit or by purchase or by a gift. Now when it comes to faith, that is a gift. We receive faith and whole faith as a gift from God. It's God's gift to those that are undeserving. It's not a natural thing. Faith is not, when the Bible speaks of faith, the faith of the Bible, it's not a natural thing. A natural faith is no benefit to the soul. Now, what would be a natural faith? It'd just be believing that, as we would, like history. We believe that in history, Christopher Columbus, that he sailed to America. We believe that. We believe that Abraham Lincoln was president. George Washington was president. We believe in, you know, these things. But that's not the kind of belief it's talking about here. This faith is not. And saving faith does not grow in the natural heart. It's not by nature. It's a thing that is obtained. It doesn't spring from education. By the way, there's an article in the paper today and talking about the atheist movement in America, how it had grown. And it's talking about the high intellect and so forth. And faith doesn't spring by education in this way. It doesn't come that way. And it doesn't come by example and things like that, or instructions, or imitation of those things. But it's given. Faith is given. Over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we read, and it says faith, and it says not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift of God. It also says, the scripture does, unto you it is given to believe on him. Now that sounds like a gift, doesn't it? When it says it's given unto you to believe. And if you believe on Jesus Christ, you believe to the saving of your soul, to the salvation, it is a given gift to you this morning. You should thank the Lord that he's given you the gift of faith, that you have faith. And what a gift that it is. Look how rich this gift is to us and what it has with us. But most preachers this morning will tell you that faith is natural to man, and it only requires the will and the exercise of it. And they talk like this: if I just get you to believe. Now, can we, the faith we're talking about is not if I can get you to believe. It's something that God gives you. It comes from him. And they'll say, well, if I can just get you to believe, so I'll try this and I'll try that and I'll try this and that. But we must recognize. And the more I think about it, how great and how true this verse is, that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. It's not something we send up, but it's something that comes down to us. And that's faith. Now, this word faith, we can look at it as a blessing of the new covenant, of that covenant of grace. It's the fruit of electing love. It's that. It's the grace of the Spirit. And it's not a legal condition, but it's a free gift of God. Those that know the plague of their heart, they know the gospel, they understand that this is something that's come to them, faith, this saving faith. It's not something natural. It's not by nature. And the Bible says, with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Now, at the same time, we look at it, and there's the heart, and it's an act of man, but yet it's God's gift. It's both. It's God's gift, but yet there's an act of man. The Spirit doesn't believe for us. And it's a gift of God. And the heart has to be renewed by divine grace and before it's capable of saving faith. It's the Lord's work. He works and we receive Christ. That's faith. And it's a gift of God. It's a sovereign gift of God. Now, the Scripture says, who maketh thee to differ? Who maketh thee to differ? Or what dost thou hast that has not been given to thee? You know, that's a good question, isn't it? Why are you here this morning? What made you to differ? You've believed upon Christ. What made you to differ? Others are in unbelief. There are those that care not for Christ. They have no use for Christ. They do not believe in Christ. But the Scripture says, who has made thee to differ is Him. You know, we recognize this morning that God could have just left us. He didn't have to do anything for us, did He? He didn't have to do anything for us. The Bible says it's not of him that willeth nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's something that we always recognize as He that showeth mercy. That humbles us that God has showed us favor. You remember the story of Ruth. And there was Boaz. And Boaz is favored to Ruth. And Ruth says, why have I found grace in thy sight, in thy eyes? Here was Ruth. She is gleaming in his field. She says, why have I found favor in thy sight? Why shouldest thou take of knowledge of me? See, we ask the same thing. Why me of all the people of the world? Faith is God's gift. Now let's go a little further with this. The gifts, the Bible says, the gifts of God and His gift and calling of God is without repentance. Now, when God does something, He does it forever. It's not that He does it for a day or two and He decides after that that He's going to change His mind. That's not the way God is. And there are those that preach today, well, you're a child of God today and you're a child of the devil next week. That's an error that many believe. But the Lord says, my sheep, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. He says, I give it. And as none shall pluck them out of my hands. They're in my hands. They're in the Father's hands. So God has given you this grace of precious faith toward His Son. He'll never take it away. Never take it away. As His gift, it comes. And He never takes that away. It's a pledge of glory. So we read and we look at it this morning. And I read this week of one. And he said God has two ends of the chain in heaven. There's these two links. And one of them is everlasting, electing love, and the other link is that of glory, and the middle link is grace. And there's those two links that he holds. And you think of the chain there, that those two links, and that of grace in the middle of it, and he's got a sure hold on two of them, and a sure hold on grace, and no power can sever these links. No power. Then he says it's precious. That is, that faith is precious. The quality of it, the greatness of it, the worth of it, all of this is precious. And the gift of God makes something precious this morning. You know, if I give you something, it might not be very precious unto you, but I'd hope if I give you something that's worth something that you would think it was precious. And that if it come from God, you know it's precious. What he gives unto us is precious. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We find that this is apprehended Christ. This faith apprehends a precious Christ. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious. Now, whether we know it or whether we feel it or whether we see it or not, Christ is precious. I mean, that, he doesn't change him. That's not what he's speaking of there. He's always been precious and he always will be precious. He's precious, and faith doesn't add to his preciousness. He's precious, isn't he? And faith doesn't add to it, but faith apprehends the preciousness of Christ, that he's the treasure. He's the pearl of great price. You know, one, the scripture says when he found this, he sold all he had to get the pearl, didn't he? He's the pearl of great price. So the question is this morning, is, and looking at that verse, is what do we think of Christ? What do we think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have a place for him in our lives? Do we look to him? Does he have a place in our hearts? If we do, heaven's for us. If you've got a spark of love, a spark of love to the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, he has a great love for you. He has an everlasting love for you. You've got a love for him. Precious. Oh, he's precious this morning when we say our Savior. When we say our Shepherd. When we say he's our Shepherd today, we see the preciousness of this sacrifice, the propitiation of Christ. We see him, our Savior. We see him as a substitute. We see him this morning that he's taken upon himself manhood, that he is in union with two natures, and he stood in our room, in our stead, our very place. He endured the wrath of God as he stood for those as given unto him. Through his suffering, the Bible says he brings many sons to glory. So it's precious this morning when we say Savior. Because when we say Savior, it means that we've been delivered from our sins. We've been delivered. He's precious this morning because that we've been made accepted in the Beloved. Isn't that precious this morning? He's a precious Savior. We're accepted in him. He's delivered us from the curse. He's delivered us from punishment. He's delivered us from guilt, the power of sin. He's delivered us. Now, he does all of this. Let me give you another word that Peter writes in the first chapter of Peter in verse 19. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ. Peter writes and says it's a precious blood. Now how does he do all this? It's by his precious blood. We call him Savior. And it says, you, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation was manifested in these last times for you. We preached last week on being made nigh by the blood of Christ. So here's precious faith, and that precious faith sees the preciousness of his blood, esteems his blood highly. It trusts him, a precious Christ. It trusts a precious blood. That was an important blood that was shed. It's where our hope is. Our hope is Christ. Our hope is his sacrifice. That's our plea today. Look upon the face of thy anointed. Look upon Christ. He's our peace. We have peace through the blood of Christ, don't we? That's our peace. And when we say through the blood, it's through his death, his suffering. That's our peace. We understand God is not angry with us because of Christ. That this has satisfied him. Christ has made satisfaction. We know that the scripture says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's not when I see the tears. It's not when I see reformation. It's not when I see all of these other things and the so-called goodness of man. It's not that. There's just one thing that screens us from the very wrath of God. And that is when I see the blood. That's the only thing. The Bible says we're washed in the blood, made white as snow in the blood. Precious faith, precious blood. This precious faith also holds precious promises. Peter speaks of the promises of God, and he calls them precious promises. Faith relies upon these promises, these precious promises, abundant promises of God. It takes them to God in prayer. David says, remember the words to thy servant, and the promises that we see God's promises, and it inspires that of faith. We look to him and there's faith. God, who cannot lie. God, who said these things. And faith follows these precious promises. Confident they'll not fail. You know, there are those, and we go through life, and there's a lot of difficulties in life. There's a lot of problems in life. And a lot of times there's adversity to life. There's circumstances that is adverse, but yet faith looks to these promises that he's made. I'll be with you. I'll not leave you. Look at all these promises that he's made unto us. So faith looks to these and has confidence. This precious faith does. This precious faith deals with precious things. Precious Christ. Precious blood. A precious redemption upon Calvary's cross. And it's a passport to glory. Precious faith is. It's the root of all graces. Faith is. And it's the substance of hope. It's all of these things. And he also says here that we have obtained a like precious faith. Now, this faith that the Bible speaks of, now listen to me here. This faith that the Bible speaks of is the same faith that Abraham had, that Peter had. It's the same faith that Paul had, that Peter had. It's the same faith that Job had, that Peter had. It's the same thing the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets. It's the same faith. It's the same faith that Abel had. We're talking about the same faith now that they had, aren't we? All the way through. And if time goes on, it's still the same faith. It's a oneness of faith. It is a uniqueness of faith. There's just one faith that saves a sinner. Just one faith. And it's common to all of the regenerate. It's common to all that are born again. It's common to all that truly believe this one faith. It's called the faith of God's elect. It's the same all the way through the Bible, from the New Testament, Old Testament, and as I said a while ago, time goes on. The Bible says there's just one Lord. There's not many lords. There's just one Christ. And the Bible says there's just one faith. Now we talk about today, people say, well, there's this faith and that faith, but there's just one saving faith. There's just one, the Scripture says. But yet there's degrees of faith. There's just one faith. You talk about Abraham, that was great faith, wasn't it? You look at Abraham and what God said unto him, and it told him his seed, about his seed, and here he was an old man, and that was great faith that he had. And there's different degrees of faith. There's increase. The Bible speaks of increase our faith, and we pray to God to increase our faith. There's a growth of faith. And we look at it, the Bible says there's little faith. It speaks of the faith of the seed of a mustard, or a grain of mustard seed. And that was something really small, a mustard seed. But yet, the Bible says that that mustard seed, that mustard plant, the birds could grow. And when it grew, that they could lodge in it. There's strong faith. But there it is. There's just one faith. Whether it's weak, strong, whether it's whatever it is, as long as it's true faith. You know, as faith, we look at it, and Peter said, "The Lord, to whom shall we go?" That all this multitude was following the Lord Jesus Christ, and he spoke to them, and they all left, and he turned to his disciples, and he said to them, "Will you also go away?" Now here's faith, Peter says, and he is speaking. Peter says, "To whom shall we go?" Says, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now that was great faith, wasn't it? You look at it. Peter says, "There's nowhere else to go." Says, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." They're not found anywhere else. You see, the faith of that leper as he came, and leprosy was a terrible disease, and I won't have time to go into all of how terrible that leprosy was, but yet there was no hope for the leper, and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now look at that faith there. He says, "Lord, if thou wilt," he knew the Lord could do it, didn't he? But he says, "If thou wilt, you've got the power. You've healed many diseases." Leprosy was incurable. You couldn't, they had no cure for leprosy. And he said, "If thou wilt, thou can makest me clean." Now I thought about that, and now you think about the situation of the leopard. And you know the leopard, he had to, if anybody come within so many feet of him, he had to holler, "Unclean, unclean." And they wouldn't get around a leopard. And when they died, they wouldn't get close to him. You know what they'd do? They'd throw a rope around him and drag him down to there, the garbage dump down in Jerusalem. You know, they didn't get close enough to know whether it's dead or not. They looked like it's dead. You know what it said? It said that you could hear screams coming out of it. See, it stayed on fire constantly. And you could hear screams coming out of it at night and during the day. See, that was a picture of hell itself. But I thought about it. What do you think about that leopard? And here's his faith. If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. The Lord says, I will be thou whole. I will. Oh, this morning, saving faith. Cling to Christ. Cleave to the Lord. That's what saving faith does. It depends upon Him. It relies upon Him. It leans upon Him. It rests upon Him. Somebody has wrote this and I copied it down and I've used it before, but another life, another death, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, I stake my whole eternity on. That's faith. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, I stake my whole eternity. That's faith. Faith. Then he goes on, the scripture does, and he says to them that have obtained like precious faith, like faith, precious faith, with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is it speaking of? It's speaking of His active and passive obedience. That, in other words, is His doings and His death through the righteousness. That is His obedient life and His sacrificial death. By His life, He obeyed all the precepts of the law. Now that's something this morning when you think about it. All the precepts of the law. So you can't even get by the first of the commandments. But Christ obeyed all the precepts. Everything of the law. Then by His death, He satisfied all the penalties of the law. The law says you break me, and there's a curse. It says you break me, and there's punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And Christ, by His death, satisfied all the penalties of the law. So we build all of our hopes. We build everything upon this, the doings and dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything's upon Him. His doings, His dying. And here it is. And this is it. This is it scripturally. This is it, saving faith. This precious faith, this is it. He lived for me and He died for me. That's salvation. He lived for me. He died for me. Now I'm going to go a little further this morning. And looking at all of this, we believe that He lived for us. We believe that He died for us. We believe and we have an interest in Christ. But believing and faith does not give us interest in Him, but it's evidence that we have an interest in Him. Now, I'll go over that carefully this morning. When you believe, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that's evidence that you have an interest in Him. That is, that He loved us. That He gave Himself for us. If He'd not died for us, not lived for us, not thought of us, He wouldn't give us faith. But through His merit, through His blood, through His righteousness, And through his prayers, we're brought to possess this saving faith, this precious faith. So what it does, it shows our interest in him and his interest in us. But it's not because of our interest. It shows us that we had a part of the cross. You see what I'm saying? It shows us we're part of his dying. We're part of his life. I've talked before about the union with him. We died with him. We're buried with him. We're resurrected with him. We're seated in the heavens with him. See, it's all joined together. You see it? It's all joined together. Maybe I put it like this. Because he lived and died for us, we're given faith. See it? We're given faith because he lived and died for us. Faith comes to us. Because he lived and died for us, salvation comes to us. Salvation comes. It comes from eternity. It comes through Christ. And it comes to us by his Spirit. Do you see it? It's all linked together. We look at it. Simon Peter says to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say just a couple words. I said this is the same faith that Abraham, David, Job, the prophets of the Old Testament, others, the New Testament, the disciples, Paul. And he writes here and he says to them that I've attained the like precious faith with us. Now here's the question. Here's the important question. Is he writing to us? Is he writing to me? He wrote this and he's writing to those that have obtained it. Have we obtained it? Do we have this faith? It may be small or it might be strong, but do we have this faith? This like precious faith that puts everything on Christ. That we see him as a precious Christ. That we see his blood as a precious blood. That we see his promises as the precious promises. That we see his redemption as a precious redemption. Oh, I go back to where I started. There's no salvation without this faith. And it's sure not a product of nature. I heard old Rock Barnard preaching one time on a tape, and he was talking about the baby that was born in Bethlehem. He said, you're putting everything upon that babe. Putting everything upon him. Now that's something beyond nature, isn't it? If you put everything, that's like when they helped him there in the temple, and they said, today, we've seen thy salvation, O Lord. We've seen it today when they helped Christ. Others looked at him and they said, well, that's just another baby boy. He grew up, well, that's just another man. But John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God. That take away the sin of the world, didn't he? That dying thief on the cross says, looked at him and says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, didn't he? And he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That was saving faith. Another thief. Oh, he didn't see who he was. Abel, that was saving faith. Cain didn't have it. Abel had it, didn't he? Obtained like precious faith. May we pray, Father, take the message, use it this morning for the benefit of our souls and our hearts. We're thankful for Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We're thankful for Him who gives eternal life. We're thankful for faith, precious faith, how rich it is to your children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We got a new recording, and this one that you go in and burn a plate on the internet, and we're sending these over to Kentucky to put on the computer and call Free Grace. Don said over there, Don was working with Larry Brown. And I forgot how many thousand did he say? I thought we got thousands of people around the world in a month.